The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
In everything, give thanks. That's been my series. I've been talking about the importance of recognizing that we give thanks to God, not because of every situation, but in every situation. You know, when the pilgrims landed in the Americas, they expected to be in another location, but they ended up in Plymouth. And they landed in a really severe winter, and they had a really difficult time. Over half of their company died that first winter. And yet when they came out of it, they were thanking God for the many blessings that God gave them. And through their thanking God, even in their circumstances, God made provision for them. He sent them Native Americans, the Indians, to help them in the spring, to plant. And in 1621, they had what we refer to as the first Thanksgiving. And they had abundance of food. And they were truly thankful. William Bradford, the governor of the colony, made it a point. He had this declaration. I'm going to read the whole thing to you. But his emphasis was, we are so thankful to our God, our Father, who has made these provisions for us. And as we enter into this time of year, when we're thinking about Thanksgiving, we're thinking about family. You know, Thanksgiving is all about food. Amen? And yes, and more food, and desserts, and family time. We enjoy, yes, you know, that part of Thanksgiving. But we always want to keep our focus on the reality that our God is our provider. Yes, he is. And that we're thankful to him more than anything else. He is the one on the throne, and he is still taking care of his own. So the things that we want to talk about, I've taken a scripture from Psalms chapter 103, verse 1 through 5. And the title of these last two messages, this message and last one, never forget the good things he does for you. Because David, the one who wrote this psalm, says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And that's really the title of this message. Don't forget the benefits of the Lord, of serving the Lord. Be thankful for the things that he does. And David makes a list of some things. It is definitely not all the things that he's thankful for, definitely not all the things that we're thankful for, but here's a list of things. Don't forget the benefits of serving the Lord. And the first thing that he talked about was iniquities. Don't forget that he forgives our iniquities. And last week I shared with you different words that are translated sin. And one of those words translate that is sin is iniquity. One of them is trespass. One of them is transgression. A trespass, transgression, and iniquity are all just a little bit different. But when you get to iniquity, we're talking about an internal sin that has taken control. We're talking about something sometimes that is what we would call an addiction. Iniquity. And in the Old Testament, God told Jacob that he would go to to sleep with his fathers, but in future generations would come back to the land when the iniquity of the Amorites was full. So see, when we're talking about iniquitous sin, we're talking about sin that eventually brings the judgment of God. And yet David said, God forgives even that kind of sin. All it takes is a people whose heart is to repent and turn to him. Nothing is impossible with our God. and the blood of Jesus Christ will deliver us from every type of sin. Amen?
Amen.
I truly believe that. So he pardons our iniquities, pardons all our sin. The second thing he talks about, David said he heals our diseases. He forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Disease, of course, the Hebrew word here, it just means a grievous sickness, some kind of something that has overtaken you. In Psalms 139, verse 14, it says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows this very well. We know for sure that God has made us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God has created human beings. He's created these bodies in such a way that if we will treat them correctly, they'll heal themselves. That's supernatural. I'm not trying to say it's just a natural thing. It is supernatural because of the power of God. But God has created our bodies in such a way that we'll heal. How many have ever cut your finger? Amen. We all have, probably, in some way. Done something, used a knife, done something silly. I normally do it when I'm using a utility knife and I'm working on something, I get my finger in the way. It's painful. But you know, one thing I know is that even though it's painful and there's a cut there, that thing's going to heal. It is going to heal. However, here's something else that I have found out. That man has been given enough knowledge to recognize that they can create antibiotics that I can put on that cut. And if I put that antibiotic on that cut and put a bandage on it, the next morning, rather than being very sore and hard to bend, it's starting to heal because of a ointment that we have. You know, the reality is that God heals. He heals physically, he heals emotionally, he heals spiritually, but he also uses man to intervene in these situations. He's an awesome and mighty God. That's why it's important that we have this body. These testimonies this morning is awesome. You know, when I was growing up as a kid, we had testimonies in church. And it was a regular part of the church. And most of the time it was awesome, but once in a while you get that one person that rather than it be a testimony of what God had done, they gave you a moany. They'd just get up and moan about all the things that's going on in their life. But I'll praise God. You know. Moanies. But that's not what we're all about. We're giving testimony to the power of Almighty God. He's an awesome God. He is powerful. So I'm thankful for a body of believers that recognize that our God is powerful, but he also has placed us in a body where we can, if you have emotional scars, you can heal. If you have physical problems, we pray and believe in the healing power of God. If you have spiritual needs, the power of God is here every time you step in the door. We know that. We recognize it. We feel it. God heals not only all our diseases, as the psalmist said, but heals our whole being. What an awesome God we serve. He heals all our diseases. You know, I read an article in Newsmax Health, it's talking about studies that show prayer can prevent people from getting sick. And when they get sick, prayer helps people recover quickly. There was a doctor at Duke University, Harold G. Coing. He tells Newsmax Health in an exclusive interview, he said, an exhaustive analysis of more than 1,500 reputable medical studies indicate people who are more religious, You know, we know what they're talking about. People who know the Lord have relationship. Are better prepared for physical conditions. They have better mental and physical health. And they seem to cope with situations much better. Out of 125 studies that look at link between health and regular worship, 85 showed that regular churchgoers live longer. Hallelujah. That's what we want. Long life. Amen. A good, healthy, long life. Amen. There's a lot of evidence out there that says, according to Dr. Coeing, that testify of the supernatural power of God infusing people with good things. Dr. Coeing is the author of several authoritative books on faith and healing. It says that striking studies show that in Southern Medical Journal demonstrated that prayer has a remarkable effect on patients with hearing and visual deficiencies. After prayer sessions, they showed significant improvements based on audio and visual tests. So they had these people, this group of people that had hearing problems, speech problems, and what they did was they prayed before they took them into therapy. And after praying for these people, the individuals that they prayed for and believed in the healing power of God, they had remarkable improvement in their audio and visual tests. Because God is truly a healing God. Amen. That's right. This is not make-believe. You know, science is confirming what God says. More and more medical research is leading hospitals and universities across the U.S. in the conclusion that a belief in God really is good for you. And not only a belief in God, those people who believe not only in God, but believe in Jesus Christ as a personal Savior relationship have one up even on those who believe in God. There's more power in that relationship. The power of God heals. David was right when he said, God heals all my diseases. All my diseases. That covers all the diseases. Amen. Praise God. Here's something we need to catch hold of in the New Testament. In Acts 10:38, it says this, and how God, it's talking about Jesus Christ, and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. For God was with them. Now, here's a false doctrine that somehow was entered into the church, and that is that sometimes God puts disease on people. The Bible does not bear that out.
That's right.
However, what we do know is that God is very aware of the reality of disease, but Jesus went about healing all who were what? Oppressed of the devil. The devil is the one who brings sickness and disease on people. Now, is it possible for us to open the door for that kind of stuff to happen? Absolutely. It is. But our God does not intentionally put things on his people. Evil, disease. It's the devil who does that. And guess what else the Bible tells us? In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, that we we'll have signs that follow us, that we'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover.
That's right.
Glory. Isn't that awesome?
Yes, that's right. Yes, sir.
Glory. I'm glad Otis and Ivy think so. Anybody else on board with this? Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Glory. They just happen to be the most vocal ones this morning. Yes. Hallelujah. God is so good. Number four, he redeems you from the pit. How many's glad you're redeemed from the pit?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Nobody wants to go to the pit. Pit is not a good place. You want to stay away from the pit. And what the pit here is actually, he's referring to hell. He's referring to a place of torment. The pit, in Hebrew, it means destruction. Sometimes it's referred to as a grave, but it's actually talking about a place where there's going to be eternal punishment. Jesus described this place in the gospel as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. He said that 7 times in the New Testament. Weeping and gnashing. Now, there's a movement today in the church that seems to be trying to do away with the concept of hell. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to acknowledge that there is a place of torment. They're trying to stay away from offending people. Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to take a chance that I'm going to offend you this morning by telling you there is a real place called hell. Jesus talked about it. And if you're not born again, you're going to end up there. Now, I would much rather take the chance of offending you than allowing you to go there without the knowledge that that place is real. Because truly, people are going to be placed in this place we call hell or torment. It was not created for you. It was not created for mankind. It was created for the devil and his angels. However, because mankind actively rejects the gospel of Jesus Christ, they will end up there. I don't want that to happen to anybody. That's why it's important that we preach the truth, the gospel of Jesus. When we're talking about a place where there's weeping, the Hebrew word here, I'm sorry, in the Greek, when Jesus talks about a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, a weeping is not just a whimper. He's talking about an uncontrollable crying, loud wailing because of the anxiety in the place that they're in. The phrase gnashing of teeth is used to denote extreme anguish and utter despair. This is a place no one wants to end up in. And praise God, you don't have to. There is an answer. The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I know just about everybody in here, I know you've got a relationship with Jesus Christ. Some of you may have a relationship that's strained with your Savior. Get it back. Get back. Get your life right with the Lord. Make sure that you know where you're headed. This place is not going to be a good place. In the New Testament, Jesus tells us, he gives us a story to let us know what this place is going to be like. In Luke chapter 16, gives us a very clear picture of what hell is. He talks about the story of rich man and Lazarus. Now, things were totally different before Jesus ascended on high, ascended to the Father. But before that happened, there was a place where there was paradise in the bosom of Abraham, and there was a place where torment was taking place. And for some reason, they could see each other. They were in a place where they could converse with each other. And the rich man cried out to Abraham because he and Lazarus had both been on earth together. And God tells the rich man, because he had good things. Now, we got to understand, he wasn't just saying, well, because you had good things in the previous life, you're in torment. No, he was making a point that he had good things and failed to share those good things with Lazarus. He was selfish. So he ended up in this place of torment, and Lazarus ended up in the bosom of Abraham. And he cried out. This is the torment that we're talking about. He cried out, and he said in verse 24, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." This is a reality of a place that we do not have to go to. Rather, we get to be in the presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah. He redeems us from the pit.
Hallelujah.
Number five, he crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Psalms 103, verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's what the New Testament, the King James, New King James says. Loving kindness is goodness, kindness, faithfulness, tender mercies, great compassion. We are God's special chosen people. He's on your side. He's with you. And he will be with you. He will crown you. Here's the important thing that we have to understand. The word there, crown, it really means to encompass. And it's a primitive root word that means to encircle. That's why a crown. When a crown was placed on the head of a king, he was appointed and anointed for life. You have been crowned. You are king and priest. You're kings and priests, both. You have been crowned by Almighty God. You have been encompassed by the protection of your God. He's going to pour nothing but goodness and mercy upon you. Because he loves you. Now this is something we really need to grasp. And that is that God doesn't just bestow his loving kindness on us from time to time. That's not our God. It's not just a random thing. Oh, today, oh, I see Otis down there. I think I'll just give him some loving kindness. And there's Tammy, I'm going to give her some mercy. But tomorrow, I'm going to take that loving kindness off from Otis, and I'm going to give it to somebody else. Give it to Todd. It's just going to jump around in our congregation. No, that's not God. We're all under his loving kindness and his mercy every day of our life. This is powerful for us to catch hold of. Psalms 31, verse 19 says this, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. Verse 20, you shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of men. You'll keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. God's promise to us. Psalms 27:13 says this, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I love that song we sing. This scripture gives us hope. We're going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's not just that we're just barely holding on all the time. Sometimes we have to hold on till we see that goodness of the Lord, but he has promised us that he's going to give us a hope and a future. The goodness of the Lord we are going to see in the land of the living. I trust that. I believe that. I believe that for my family. I believe that for this church. I believe that for our nation. We're going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Hallelujah.
That same study that I was talking about with Dr. Coehinger, the article, he says the benefits of devout religious practice, particularly involved in faith community and religious commitment, are that people cope better. In general, they cope with stress better. They experience greater well-being because they have more hope. They're more optimistic. They experience less depression, less anxiety. For the devout, there has never been any question that prayer and the power of God has healing power. Amen? Medical science is confirming What we already knew, we didn't have, we don't need to have the scientists tell us these things. We know it. We know it's true. We know that our happiness and our contentment is connected to our relationship with the Lord. It's not based on the circumstances that are taking place all around us. It doesn't matter what's happening. Our God is on the throne and He's on our side. And He has promised that all these things are going to work to our good. He has promised that He's going to be with us no matter what. The last one, the last point I want to make is verse 5. He satisfies your youth with good things, that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He satisfies your mouth with good things. He has promised that He's going to give us good things. And I believe he's talking about the things that the testimonies that we're able to give are good things that He satisfies us with. I believe it's also the fact that He has promised us that He's going to meet our needs, that He will be there for us when we have a need, that we can cry out to Him. There's a quote that I don't even know who said it, but I believe it's very true. God is always trying to give good things to us, but our hands are too full to receive them. Sometimes I believe that's true in our life. We just get our hands so full. How many know that it is difficult to juggle all the aspects of life? Yes, sir. It's hard sometimes. Children, grandchildren, spouse, career, church, all these things that we're trying to do that are good things. But sometimes we get our hands so full that it's hard for us to receive the goodness of the Lord. He's trying to pour it out to us. But here we are, just juggling. And there's no more room. Sometimes it's important for us to take a step back and look at our situation. Everything that is good is not necessary. There's lots of good things. You know, when it comes to the church and the ministries that we support, there are so many ministries out there that are doing a good work for the Lord, but we can't support all of them. They're good, but it's not what we can do. That's why it's so important that we hear what the Lord is saying to us individually. That He wants to satisfy your mouth with good things. But you know what? If you got your mouth full of pastries and He's trying to give you steak, you're not going to be able to eat. God's trying to, He's trying to get our attention here. He said, I want to satisfy you with good things. It's not always the good things that you think He wants to satisfy you with. But this relationship that we have with Him, He wants to satisfy us. In Psalms 37:25, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. We can trust that. And sometimes God just has to get our attention. We have to get our focus back on Him and what He wants for our life. Mike Holmgren was a football player. He actually was a backup quarterback for Joe Namath. And he became a coach, and eventually, I think now he's the president of Cleveland Browns. But he gives a testimony of how he allowed football, sports, and particularly football, to become his God. He was saved when he was a young man. He got involved with football and became pretty successful at it. And then he became a backup quarterback for the Jets, I believe it was. And one day he was cut. And he was devastated by it. But you, how many know that sometimes these devastating situations in our life are a good thing for us? You know, it's God. God is in this thing. And Holmgren, he said that this brought my attention back to God. He said, I had left my faith in God on the shelf with my dusty Bible. And I wasn't taking it off on a regular basis, taking it up. But he said, this brought the attention, brought me to the point where I had to realize that this wasn't about me, it was about God. And I had to focus once again on my God. And I got my life straightened out, and I began to get my priorities in order. And I realized that life was not about football. Football was just a career. But he said my priority then became first my faith in my God, then my family, and then my career. He said, and I keep that order all the time. That's what God desires. That we take a step back, we look at our situation. He's wanting to give us good things, but sometimes maybe we're just a little too consumed with what we think we should be doing. He wants to satisfy your mouth, your life, your faith with good things. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Once again, I just want to encourage you. You know, when you sit down with your family for Thanksgiving meal, no matter when you do it, whether you do it on Thanksgiving Day or before, just remember how good God has been to you. He is faithful, and He is going to satisfy you with good things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come together as a congregation this morning, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for each and every one who's here this morning. We thank you for the good things that you're doing in our hearts, in our lives. We thank you that you do satisfy us with good things. Help us to keep our focus on you, to recognize who you are, that you are the Almighty God, and that our focus, our priority should always be our faith in you. But help us to also know that our families are important. Our individual families, our church family. Thank you, Lord, that you satisfy us all with good, good things. We thank you as we go from this place today, Lord, that we will continue with an attitude of thanksgiving, giving you thanks in all things, as you have promised that you will cause all things to work for our good. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.